In the latest in the diplomatic effort to end the on-again, off-again U.S. war with Iran, the United States and Iran have separately announced they're sending delegations to Qatar this week, though Tehran insists it has not agreed to meet with the U.S., quote, at any level. The United States and Iran have separately announced they are sending delegations to Qatar this week, though Tehran insists it has not agreed to meet the U.S. The announcement today came after weekend attacks in the Persian Gulf challenged efforts to negotiate an end to the war. President Trump has tried to preserve a fragile interim deal as hostilities mounted in recent days in the strait. He blamed the Iranians for launching attacks on ships navigating the strait.
They shot four of them. We knocked down three of them. One of them, we didn't miss it. Nobody saw it coming. And it hit a ship and did some damage. But you can't do that stuff.
After 4 days of trading strikes, both sides appeared to pause their attacks today. A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry said its delegation traveling to Qatar plans to discuss terms of the deal without U.S. involvement. Arsenio Dominguez is with the International Maritime Organization. He said shipping through the vital waterway should be allowed to proceed without putting crews in danger. And he said agreements to allow shipping must be adhered to, which he said Iran did not do when it fired at ships in the strait.
What I can confirm to you is that it was not contacting the authorities in Oman in order to transit following the evacuation framework.
U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with the German Foreign Minister Johann Waterfall today at the State Department in Washington. NATO allies were not consulted before Trump launched his war with Iran along with Israel. Allies have been skeptical of the reasoning for the war. Rubio said last week that Trump is frustrated with NATO allies and their lack of support.
Everyone likes to go around saying Iran can never have a nuclear weapon, Iran can never have a nuclear weapons capability, but the only one who was willing to do something about it was the president. And when he did something about it, he found allies that gave us a hard time about using our bases. And so, again, if you speak about the NATO alliance, one of the reasons why I've been a strong supporter of our presence in NATO is because it allows us these basing rights that allow us to project power and protect our interests. But if you're not going to be allowed the use of those bases, by these countries, then it puts into question the entire alliance.
Trump has also run into opposition from his fellow Republicans in Congress. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy reportedly got into a shouting match with Trump during a meeting between GOP lawmakers and the president over the weekend. He told CBS his Face the Nation on Sunday that he wants answers about where the money for the military is going before he authorizes funding for the Pentagon.
I think I've shown, at least on my level, that I'm willing to make tough votes in order to get that briefing that I feel I need to have the truth to make a decision that's good for my country. So we didn't talk about that last night, but I think that's a fair statement.
Meanwhile, confusion over the status of peace talks continued today. After Trump posted on social media this morning that the U.S. and Iran plan to meet, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt told Fox News that Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, were flying to Qatar. Pakistan, also a key mediator, had said talks between the Iran and the U.S. would resume tomorrow. But Kazem Garbabadi, a senior negotiator for Iran, said in comments published by Iranian state media that no talks had been confirmed. The Israeli military destroyed a 200-meter Hezbollah tunnel in southern Lebanon on Sunday, 2 days after Lebanon and Israel signed a U.S.-brokered security agreement meant to ease border hostilities. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Israel Katz said the tunnel held hundreds of weapons. The strike followed earlier attacks Sunday on Hezbollah fighters and a rocket launcher in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah called the strikes a flagrant ceasefire violation and said it reserves the right to respond. Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem has rejected the broader agreement as a surrender to Israel. Today, Lebanon's parliament speaker, Nabi Berri, a Hezbollah ally, dismissed the deal as unworkable diktats that could spark internal division. A senior Hezbollah official called the agreement, quote, effectively dead. Israel says it will keep troops in southern Lebanon until Hezbollah disarms. The deal calls for a phased Israeli withdrawal as Lebanon's army deploys in designated zones, though Israeli shelling and drone activity continue today despite the agreement. More than 1 million Lebanese have been displaced since fighting escalated in March. Meanwhile, U.S. President Donald Trump is pushing a surprising idea for confronting Hezbollah in Lebanon. Let Syria do it instead of Israel. Trump has said Syria's new Islamist-led government, which overthrew Bashar Assad's regime, could do a better job rooting out the Iran-backed militant group than the Israeli military, which he says has killed too many civilians in its campaign. Syrian President Ahmed al-Shara denies any plan to intervene in Lebanon, saying Trump's comments were misunderstood. But Trump has repeated the idea, raising alarm in both Lebanon and Israel. Israel, wary of al-Shara's government, has held security meetings on the prospect. Analysts say Syria's military lacks the cohesion for such a mission and note rising tensions between Israel and Turkey, a key backer of Damascus, over influence in the country. In addition, tensions flared in Israeli-occupied southern Syria over the weekend after residents of Abdin tried to block an Israeli military incursion with rocks and stones. Troops responded with warning shots and artillery fire. No one was hurt, but most residents fled and remained too afraid to return today. Abdin resident Mohammed Al-Hassan said, "They come into the village regularly, every few days. They come in armored 4x4 vehicles. They roam around the village and search some houses. They knock on doors, and if people don't answer the door, they break it down and enter the houses. Women and children start screaming. It's a terrifying thing, them coming here." Israel seized the UN-patrolled buffer zone in December of 2024 after the fall of the former president Bashar Assad, initially calling the move temporary. Officials now say they plan to stay indefinitely. Syria's interim president has urged Israel to withdraw. U.S.-mediated talks between the two countries aimed at a security deal appear to have stalled. In a separate incident, Israeli forces said they killed two militants near the village of Hadar, who they say were planning an attack.